Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. The starting pistol of the Premier League season just went off. We watched the Community Shield. We have a lot to talk about, so I won't linger. We'll come back to the Community Shield in a minute. But Josh, what do we have going on in this Game Week 1 preview pod?
All right. Very brief running order for the podcast. You and I finally reveal our bus teams. If we get hit by a bus in the middle of this recording, if we get hit by a bus tomorrow, if we get hit by a bus in any scenario, lots of, Brandon, I can think of a million different ways that I personally would get hit by a bus. I hope it doesn't happen, but I can see how it could.
Living in New York City, this town is like a Rube Goldberg machine designed to kill pedestrians. Exactly. So it is highly plausible we get hit by a bus.
So if we get hit by a bus, we've got our teams ready to go. We're going to reveal them in a moment. If we're in a coma for the rest of the season, I think I can roll with this Game Week 1 team. We're going to get into the unanswered questions going into Game Week 1. So there's questions about defenders, questions about Naby Keita, questions about lots of different players. It's only one Naby Keita question. It's right at the end, so don't.
I'm shocked.
We'll tease that. Yeah, like maybe an hour and 40 minutes in before we finally get to that Naby Keita question, but we will get to it, Brandon. Okay. And then we are going to preview Game Week 1 as well.
I love the idea of the unanswered questions because despite us doing multiple season previews over the last few weeks, it's like as soon as a preview pod goes up, it's almost made irrelevant based on transfer news, preseason right. friendly results, lineups, so on and so forth.
So don't tell anybody.
this episode will be different. This episode will be different. Nothing will go out of date with this episode. But we should address the elephant in the room, which is, wow, what was that? Was that new Always Cheating theme music?
I think it was.
Yeah, we have to thank our good friend Zach Kurd for he supplies all of our podcast music. He did our previous tune, which we know and love. And Zach volunteered to give us a little refresh for the new season. Can't encourage you enough to check out his actual music that's not FPL related. Just go to zachkurd.bandcamp.com, and that's Zach, ZACHCURD.bandcamp.com, and listen to his cool recent album called Prudence, which is very lovely.
The fact that you said cool, though, makes it sound immediately uncool. You've immediately undercut how cool this album might be by calling it cool. It's like your mom says you're handsome, you know? It just doesn't really,
work. It's a very nice album, and I think you should listen to it at a very moderate level of volume.
So before we get into our bus teams, we just watched the Community Shield. I feel like we have to comment on it at least for, 90 seconds. Did it change the way you thought about either team? Have you, are you going to change your team at all? Is it? Did it rock you in any way?
I think the one thing I've been circling around has been Chelsea defense with my bus team. And the Community Shield said it's okay to hold off on Chelsea defense and Chelsea altogether. It's less that City came out a winner from the Community Shield. Chelsea clearly came out a loser. And I understand they're learning a new system. They've got a new manager and they've got players coming and going, perhaps. Who even knows how the saga with Eden Hazard is going to end? But they're out of sorts, and I don't think that we can trust them heading into Game Week 1.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I mean, I certainly was thinking about Pedro the way some people were. Fabregas. There are a lot of different names that were getting sort of thrown around for Chelsea. I mean, a lot of it is a lot of people were, I think most people know that this is going to be a short-term solution, in terms of what Chelsea players you want to bring in. I think that by game week 3-4, maybe a little bit later than that, everyone will be back from the World Cup. We'll know, we'll know whether Hazard and Willian are still with the team. I mean, Willian played, so that is encouraging for him staying with the squad. And in fact, if he played in this match, or because he played in this match, I think that he is maybe one of the best options now for that Chelsea team. He's not that expensive, guaranteed starter. So, Hazard's not back. We'll see if he leaves. Courtois, his agent was just, really pushing for a transfer. That was the news that was out this morning. So sounds like Courtois probably going to leave, and that's going to set a whole bunch of wheels in motion. Yeah.
And if they stick with Caballero, it was an interesting battle of keepers in the Community Shield, and it was the battle of mistake-prone keepers who can't really make saves. Caballero behind the Chelsea defense, if that's going to be the setup in the near future, That's another reason to back off of Chelsea defense.
Yeah.
I think Pedro looked decent enough. There was a lot of him with the ball looking up and throwing his hands up like, where is everyone? Somebody show for the ball. Weirdly, I think the thing that rocked me the most was on Chelsea. Ross Barkley was one of the more appealing attacking players.
Yeah. I hope you bring him in, Brandon. I hope you do. He will not be touching my team.
Yeah. About City, the conversation on our Slack channel was basically, did we actually learn anything about City? Yes, from this match. Of course, they're good. Mm-hmm. Aguero, maybe the biggest thing we learned is that Aguero is a must-have pick, right?
Something close to it. I mean, I feel like, he was in my team even before this because I don't know that I trust any of their midfield right now.
Yeah, ditto, same.
Yeah, so I feel like you need some City coverage given how good their fixtures are. So I think it feels like the recent trend is maybe two City defenders, possibly Ederson and someone like Mendy, and then someone else, right? Someone in the midfield or Aguero. And Aguero looked like he was in midseason. I couldn't believe how good he looked.
He looked sensational. Yeah. Mahrez was seeing so much of the ball, but Yeah, there was an Anthony Narcart thing about him where he was trying really hard. I mean, he was playing some really nice balls and some back heels and all this sort of thing. The finishing touch was rarely there for him.
Right.
And the fact that Sané came off the pitch really early because of a knock was disappointing. It just threw up more questions. Bernardo Silva was the best looking midfielder to my eye.
And Silva, who really came on late in the second half of last season, definitely an interesting option. Played pretty well for Portugal too in the World Cup. So yeah, I think Bernardo Silva, I don't know. It's just the problem with Silva is, would it shock you if he just didn't start in game week one? No. It wouldn't shock me if he started in game week one and didn't start in game week two. I just don't really want to start my season with a player who I don't even feel confident is going to start the first match.
Yeah, right. The feeling is, let's just wait, and once our wild cards get triggered at some point down the line, we can consider bringing Kevin De Bruyne in, who will be,
right,
as he was last season, really the one sure thing in that midfield.
Yeah, he was excellent last season, and he's dropped by 0.5 million. You know, you can have him for 10 million now, which is really a very reasonable price given, that he's on, many, many set pieces, and, he's going to get double-digit assists, in the season for sure. Right. So,
yep.
Yep. So yeah, I think we both have the standard takeaways. I mean, I thought the defense looked pretty good. Mendy got through it without a scrape. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. So I was asking a lot of questions this past week of how did Mendy make it into so many preseason FPL drafts, because he saw very little playing time due to injury last season, and when he came back from injury, he looked a little strange on the ball to me. Didn't really see any minutes in the World Cup. And here he is just popping up in so many preseason drafts. I thought he looked pretty, I mean, yeah, of course he looked good. He saw a lot of the ball. He was like a tank running down that left-hand side. So I'm kind of coming around to the Mendy idea. And the other fact being is that every single other defender in the Man City team got rotated into the Community Shield.
Right.
Laporte, Stones, Kompany, Otamendi all got playing time. So it's like, what is going on? What's the lineup?
Didn't Stones got subbed? It was like there were 4 minutes of extra time. And in the 94th minute with 94-36 or something like that, he finally got... He got subbed out, and it was like,
well, after he got pushed up in the midfield for some oddity. Yeah.
So I think, the only issue with Mendy, it's not really an issue, but there's probably a decent chance that he doesn't play, four matches in a row. So I wouldn't necessarily bring Mendy in if I didn't have, if I'm going to bring Mendy in, which I probably will actually, I want to make sure I have at least a plain defender on my bench. I don't want to have a really extremely strong starting 11 and no bench players, because it's a decent chance that I'm going to need one of those bench players to come in for Mendy when he doesn't play a match.
You need to know that you've got Juan Bissikas coming in.
Exactly.
At the drop of a hat.
Yeah. 4 million legend. Brandon, we had our draft last night, and I don't think we need to get into it really on this podcast, other than to mention that we have we recorded a Patreon podcast during the draft. So we haven't released that yet, and it's going to be possibly the worst podcast we've ever put out to people.
Yeah, if it doesn't come across on the usual pod, Josh can get rather stressed out in very in situations like a live FPL draft.
My attention is split a little bit.
But yeah, this is a draft we put together for our high-level Volkswagen and producer-level Patreons. It was really fun. Look out for that on the Patreon page. But in other league news, a league that is our biggest, our brightest, and it is free to play, just join the Always Cheating Super League. That's the official Always Cheating podcast mini league on the FPL site. There's a link in the show notes here. You can find a link on our website, all of our social media,
Twitter, handles, Facebook,
and so on and so forth. Yeah. So do join the Super League. We're now up over 2,600 managers and growing.
And just because we were talking about Patreon a moment ago, Brandon, just a note to join. If you want to be part of our leagues, our head-to-head league, make sure you join before game week one takes place. I rolled out a bunch of new features for the season. If you join, you get access to Slack. We have a trash talk tier where you can just talk trash about anyone in your mini league, or I guess any player, right? If you want to just talk about how much you hate Ross Barkley, maybe that's how I'll use my trash talk this year.
It's a free soapbox. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have license to edit, though. We have final say.
That's right. We can't commit high treason. I think that was the one thing we the one thing we threw in there. But we have it says private leagues. We have a survivor league we're launching in a couple of weeks. We don't want to launch the survivor leagues too soon because I just think there's too much going on, and I actually think it's nice to launch the Survivor League a few weeks into the season when you can kind of like take a breath. Maybe it's the first international break, you know, and you're not like so focused on getting your FPL squad in order.
Our FPL teams have fallen apart, that'll give us something to look forward to.
Yeah, it'll be like a nice little like change of pace. And we also have t-shirts and buttons and lots of other stuff too. So go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brandon, you want to thank our new patrons since the last podcast?
Yeah. Yep. New patrons at the producer level. We have Martin Savage and Rick Brailsford. And at the Sorloth level tier, the Lord Sorloth tier, it's Thomas Hansen, Carlo Prushino, Dave Aston, Preben Young, Tyler Ogilvy, and Kevin Ryan. At the Mbakani tier, thank you to Troy Oder, Gravil Kubatev, Jack Beadle, Guy Pilatus, Craig Primus, Rich Evans, Matt Seward, and Lucy Martin. Thanks to all our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, thank you to all our Patreon subscribers. Brandon, we have a question here. It comes from M. Bison 22. He's been asking us this every week, basically since the game rolled out. He says, where is that bus team? Brandon, let's finally reveal our bus teams. Let's start from the back. All right, let's go with goal. I'll go, and then you go. We'll do goalkeepers, defenders, midfield. We're going all the way up to the forwards. All right.
Gotcha. All right, you go first.
All right. So my bus team.
Goal.
All right, and this is subject to change. Possibly in the middle of this podcast, I may tinker during.
Don't at us.
I've got Ederson in goal, and I have Hamer as my backup keeper.
Where you stuck, I twisted. I have Ederson in goal and backup. I have Will Norris, who's the backup keeper at Wolverhampton. And gone for the 4.0 there as well.
All right. So in defense, I have Ben Mendy, Andy Robertson, David Luiz. You know, Luiz is, I'm looking at my the pitch view right now, on the screen. Luiz, I feel like maybe that's going to change. I mean, they are playing Huddersfield away, and I feel pretty solid about Luiz starting. But, God, it is hard to have a lot of faith in that defense. Right? It's also very sad to see Marcus Alonso totally neutered, right? We need a free Alonso slogan. We need to get him on a squad where he can be himself again.
I do not understand the point of Marcus Alonso if he actually has to play defense.
It's just sad. It neuters his greatest strength. Yeah. And then my bench defenders, I've got Juan Bissaka, 4 million legend, and then I got Matt Doherty as my fifth defender. Wolverhampton defender.
Gotcha. Okay. For me in defense, it's Michael Keane. We will discuss this a little bit more, Everton defense. Andy Robertson as well. I've gone for James Tompkins in Crystal Palace. And going big with the Greeks, with Socrates. I'm feeling very good about Arsenal right now, despite their opening two fixtures being particularly that Man City fixture in game week one are kind of dicey, but I like him for a long-term pick. And then you can't have an FPL lineup for game week one without Wan-Bissaka. So
you really can't. Yeah. All right. So I have the double Palace defense, Brandon. That's strong.
I guess my logic there with the double Palace is James Tompkins is appears to be a lock. He has decent goal scoring record. Juan Bezica, people are saying that he should be definitely in the starting lineup going into game week one.
Started every preseason match, I think.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to be doubled up there, but this is more of just sort of trying to cover value. He will be the highest owned 4.0 player in the game.
Right.
And will I play both of them at the same time? It seems unlikely.
Yeah. All right. So I have my midfield here is a little different than some of the midfields I've seen, I think. I've got Mo Salah, right? We all have Mo Salah. There's a question about what we're going to do about Mo Salah that I actually didn't even put in the running order because the answer is that we're both going to have Mo Salah. I can pretty much guarantee it. Can you go into the season, just while we're talking about Salah, can you go into the season without Salah? I mean,
no, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, of course you can.
Sure.
There are ways to try and figure it out and game it, but no, I think legitimately you're going to lose ground.
Yeah.
If Salah goes according to plan, you will lose ground, and that's a fact.
It gets to like what the fantasy game is. Like it is not a draft game. You know, a draft game, everyone has their own people. There's no overlap. You either have Salah or you don't. This is a different type of game. And the way to win this game is not to be completely different. You know, you have to have some popular picks in your team. And when that player gets over 50% ownership, which is, you know, I think Salah's, where is he right now? He's at 51.5%. It's got to be the highest anyone's been owned going into a season, right? I think that's probably going to go even higher too as new teams.
Yeah,
right. You know, we're at 2.5 million managers as of the recording of this podcast. We'll probably get up to, I guess we get closer to 4 by the time the season starts. And then we'll probably, you know, we'll be closer to 5 or 6 by midseason. So I think when you get above 51%, it's just you have to play a little defense to be successful. And I think you could bring him in and not captain him, you know, I think that's reasonable, but, you know, but to not have him in your squad at all, I feel like it just feels like a mistake.
Yep. I think that's where you'll get ahead. That's where you'll beat the Salah owners is you also own Salah, but you know when to not captain him, if ever.
Right.
And you know when to move Salah into somebody like De Bruyne or Raheem Sterling if we get to that point in the season.
Yeah.
And that's where the game will be won or lost. I think you just have to start with him to cover yourself.
So I have Salah. I have Pascal Gross. I have Richarlison. I have Ruben Neves. And I have Morgan Schneiderlin. Now, that 4.5 million spot, which is where Schneiderlin is right now, that is subject to change. I'm still sort of tinkering around with that a little bit. I don't love any of the options. I know that you know, Dale Stevens is getting kicked around as an option. I had Dale Stevens for a big chunk of last season. And the guy, you know, I mean, all you're getting is 2 points from him. I feel like I might want to take a little more of a risk. And I think Schneiderlin at least has a little bit more potential just based on prior performance, going back a few years now, but still new system might open things up a little bit. The Pascal Gross thing I have slowly talked myself into. I mean, Richarlison is pretty template. A lot of people have Richarlison right now. Pascal Gross, you know, part of it was talking to FPL Stag. Part of it was Jonty had posted something on Twitter. I mean, the guy is basically like a Christian Eriksen, like he's like Christian Eriksen light, you know, and it feels like he's scoring a little more in the, you know, it's preseason, you know, for sure, but it feels like he's maybe a little more involved in the attack now. So I just think at 7 million, like made my eyes water a little bit, but I'm sort of talking myself into him as like a cheaper version of Christian Eriksen.
Okay.
Ruben Neves, that feels like a little trendy to me, but I'm sort of, if he is on penalties, which it looks like he is, 5 million, I think that might be a decent way into that Wolverhampton attack. And then Schneiderlin, as I mentioned, you know, kind of a whatever pick.
Yeah, the 4.5 is a tricky one to pick for because, yeah, I have Dale Stevens. So just to jump into my midfield, I do have Dale Stevens. Certainly, I agree. He's like the carnival game that it is at every carnival, but nobody enjoys playing it. So there he is. He'll be riding the bench Tom Carney at 5.0 as a Fulham fan, it kind of feels fun to actually be able to have a Fulham player in there, and he feels should be like, pushing.
Feels like Carney or Neves, right? It's like one of those two.
Yeah, we have a question talking about cheap mids and possible 4.5 versus 5.0. I think we can get into a few other options that aren't Carney, Schneiderlin, or Stevens. But yeah, he is rising to the top because he is among that price bracket. He's among the more attacking players. He will score goals. Then I do have Richarlison, and I have Mo Salah, and my big attacking punt is Mesut Ozil.
Okay, interesting. So
somehow I've talked myself into being really big on Arsenal this season, and Mesut Ozil is just rounding that out. 8.0, a lot of people have remarked, or I'm sorry, 8.5 is his price tag. That it feels like we've finally gotten to a good meeting point with what Ozil will contribute FPL-wise to what you're paying for him. And after that Leicester League title winning season where Ozil was flying as an FPL asset, he's been disappointing. And I think he's set up with a new manager, new players around him, and it could be time.
Yeah, I like – this is sort of like you having KDB last year. I know you like a consistent – maybe someone you're willing to sacrifice goals for consistent, like, you know, assist returns, right? And like in bonus point returns, things like that.
Yeah, and consistent in that regard, but also consistently on the ball, right. Whether he's taking free kicks, delivering corners, or just bringing the ball forward. I do like, and when he is on song, that's bonus points as well for him.
Yeah. I think and Richarlison is a player who I thought you were kind of not feeling like what's turned you around in Richarlison?
What's turned me around in Richarlison is, and I still don't think I'm completely happy with my midfield at this point, but Salah and Ozil were my heavy hitters next to Stevens and Carney. Prior to Richarlison, I had moved some money around to free up money for Richarlison. I had Gundogan before that. It's like Gundogan is not a lock for a start. And also, where are the goals coming from in my midfield? If I'm looking at Ozil for consistent returns, it's still not going to be consistent goal scoring returns.
Right.
So I turned to Richarlison. The price was right for a goal scoring midfielder. And that really did turn me around on how I feel about him. I needed more goals in the midfield. I hope they come here.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Forward line. I'm a little annoyed about my forward line because it feels very trendy now, even though I picked this forward line like 4 days ago and I haven't changed it. But two of the players have scored 4 goals in the last 2 days. So I think it's going to become a lot more popular. I have Aguero, and actually there's one, the other one also scored. I have Aguero, Aubameyang, and Josh King as my three forwards. So it's a slightly more forward focused line that I've seen a lot of people have. I know that the sort of within the community, you know, if you're looking, you know, if you're on, you know, Reddit or Twitter, et cetera, even there's a Rate My Team thread on our Slack. And I feel like I'm seeing a lot more defensive focus. And I guess I am focused on my defense this year, but somewhere had to get squeezed. And I guess I've decided to squeeze the midfield instead of the forward line. I had a stronger midfield before. And it just felt a little like it was like I had a moment where I sort of like looked at it from 10,000 feet, you know, and I just was like, this doesn't feel strong enough to me. And I felt like I was missing some Man City, like some consistent Man City attack. And so I shifted things around. I dropped a Man City midfielder and I brought in Aguero and Aubameyang. I kind of want to go Lacazette in that spot, but I'm just a little worried about him starting because it does feel like there's competition for those front three spots. And then Josh King, I just like him as a value option. I mean, he's been a goal scorer machine in the preseason, ended last season really well. He's only 6.5 million and Bournemouth have good fixtures. So that was my
Cardiff at home in game week one. That's probably the most appealing fixture of them all.
Yeah.
And then West Ham and Everton in the next 2 weeks. Yeah. I really do like Josh King. I have the exact same front lineup as you with Aguero and Aubameyang save. I did not have money. I do not have Josh King level money, Josh.
Yeah.
I only have Bobby Reed money.
Bobby Reed.
So like you, if anyone in this 15-man squad is on the bubble, it's Aubameyang. And that seems crazy because he's probably the player here I'm most excited about. But in terms of value for team, I think you can look at it in a Liverpool sense, right? In the attacking points could be spread around quite a bit at Arsenal, like they are at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Salah to Firmino, Firmino to Salah, Mane's in the mix, so on and so forth? Aubameyang at 11 million, it's like just at the top point at which I'm willing to pay for him. And to move him to a 9.5 or like Firmino or Lacazette would allow me to turn Bobby Reed into Arnautovic. And if I feel like I'm missing anyone, West Ham's fixtures are pretty diabolical to start. But I am very excited to see what Arnie does under Pellegrini this season, even with bad fixtures. You could even, I think you can make the point that Arnie is somewhat fixture proof, given how much West Ham have really pushed to buy in the attack and in the attacking midfield slots.
Yeah, there's a chart that I shared on Twitter a couple nights ago. It was combined XG and XA, so expected goals and expected assists, last season for players in the non-top six sides. And the overall leader in that category was Arnautovic, and I think Richarlison was right up there as well. But Arnautovic was the one who was, you know, the most attacking player in any non-top six side last year. So, or at least in terms of attacking, you know, expected returns. If the manager came out, if Arsenal's, you know, if what's the Arsenal's manager?
Emery.
Thank you. If Unai Emery came out and said, this is my lineup going into game week one, and Lacazette was in that lineup, I think I would just make the move from Aubameyang to Lacazette. That's 1.5 million. That turns Ruben Neves into Jota or some other 6.5 million midfielder. Or I can upgrade Pascal Gross, possibly up to like Mahrez, you know, if I tinker with things a little bit. So it is very, you know, or maybe not Mahrez, I don't know, but somebody like a more premium defender, you know, maybe even like Eriksen if I could get up that far. But I just feel like not knowing if Lacazette's going to start, I just don't feel that confident having him in my squad. I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, I just hate starting off the season with players who are starting doubts. I mean, you know, last season you had two people in your team who didn't start in game week one?
Yeah, it was Ryan Fraser and Alex Iwobi were both I think it was Ryan Fraser. I can't remember if Fraser didn't start or if he was just miserable to start the season. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't. And it's caused me to be a little more cautious this going into this game week one. I'm trying to judge Aubameyang. Is he somebody I'm bringing in out of fear or because I'm just genuinely excited to play him?
Yeah.
Because if it was less out of fear, I think it would be easier for me to move him to Firmino.
He's a genuinely exciting player. Yeah, the Firmino thing, I mean, I just don't feel like Firmino is going to start game week one. You know, I mean,
Sturridge has been playing dynamite in the preseason. I wonder if Sturridge gets a chance to prove himself and put himself in the already putting him in the January transfer window.
I was just going to say, I still wonder if he's in the shop window. I wonder if he's going to move before the deadline. I mean, what makes this really interesting is that, you know, the transfer deadline does come on, it's Thursday, right? I think it's like end of day Thursday. So, so we are going to know exactly who is, you know, in everybody's like in, you know, every team squad, you know, at least through December, before the season starts, which is such a great change. I mean, like, you know, like in previous seasons, you kind of had to, you know, you'd wild card around game week 3 or 4, and then there'd be all these newly acquired transfer deadline players. And you'd be like, well, I don't know, like, do I take a risk on so-and-so, you know, some player who's like joining from La Liga or something. And you're like, well, I think he's going to start off the bat and I'm on my wild card. So I kind of want to take the chance, but it was always very risky and kind of, annoying. So I'm pretty excited about having it all settled before the season actually starts.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you feeling about this bus team?
It's like an 8. I mean, I look at the midfield and I don't love it. And it's, you know, the question is, do I dislike it enough to mess with my forward line? Because I do feel pretty committed to a strong defense this year. I think that I've been trying to open my eyes a little bit. I feel like I've neglected defense in the last couple of years, and I feel like it's really come back to haunt me. So, you know, one goal I set for myself coming into the season was to be a little more to remember to mind my defense a little bit and not disregard it the way I normally do, you know, in favor of more attacking returns. So that's one thing I'm considering. You know, I see this double this double City defense away to Arsenal game week one, and that doesn't necessarily feel like I'm maximizing points there. So, yeah.
About the double City defense? I mean, the City defense is, I mean, I guess we're backing them pretty substantially because we both had Ederson in goal, and the only reason to bring in a premium goalkeeper is to really back the clean sheets. But to double up on a team that is so attacking, it just seems out of fear for the midfield rotation.
You know, looked at in a vacuum, though, I really like Mendy as a 6 million defender. As a defender who can get me points. And I like the idea of a set and forget keeper. And I don't want to spend 6 million on De Gea. And I don't necessarily. Okay. So one thing that could change, there's a question that we got that I'm going to bump up to this discussion.
Congratulations to this listener.
Yeah. I just got to find it here. The question comes from Adam P on the Slack. He says, is there a realistic transfer before the end of the window that would make you want to immediately put that player into your team? And the one that stands out to me is Kasper Schmeichel to Chelsea. If Courtois leaves, as we now think is going to happen, or seems likely anyway, unless Chelsea really put their foot down, if Courtois leaves, then it seems possible, if not likely, that Schmeichel will leave Leicester and go to Chelsea. And at that point, he would be a 5 million keeper. And I am absolutely fine rolling with Kasper Schmeichel every week for the whole season.
Yeah. I'm totally biased now based on that performance in the Community Shield of what is this Chelsea defense. I mean, traditionally, Chelsea had a very solid defensively. A lot of people, I know Dave Wegner-Lodahl has been talking a lot about, he's just going with Cesar Azpilicueta no matter what, and Chelsea will grow into it. But and I'm generally against 5.0 goalkeepers, because if you're going to try and go that budget, why not just go 4.5,
right,
and put a little bit more cash into some place where you might get a goal or an assist? But yeah, there's something different about Schmeichel at Chelsea. It's like it's a club that's just top tier enough, and it's a goalkeeper that is that good and at the right price. It does make sense.
Yeah, I mean, Schmeichel he has great hands, and
great hands,
kind of Mignolet ish. You know, it feels like he was the reason that Leicester didn't totally fall apart. Leicester's defense sort of fell apart last season, but Schmeichel sort of kept them. Kept things decent, and I feel like you saw that in the World Cup as well. I mean, he's just a great, he's great. He's kind of a save machine. So, So I mean, Schmeichel and a 4 million keeper, that sounds like a good combo to me.
Yeah, other possible transfers: Danny Ings. I was weirdly, we talked a little bit about Danny Ings offline, and you weren't totally sold on him. I mean, he scored one goal in the last few years.
Right.
It's been a long time since his breakout season when Burnley was promoted to the Premier League.
The first time.
Yeah. But at 5 point, yeah, yes, the first time, not the sequel. But at 5.5, if he moves to Palace, I'd have to struggle between him and Bobby Reid, young, small striker on one of the worst teams coming in to the season versus Danny Ings, who has at least at some point proven himself in the league. So I'll be watching that Danny Ings transfer news. Though I think that my biggest disappointment is that Harry Maguire didn't end up getting that move to Manchester United. I think we're all kind of like sitting on pins and needles waiting to figure out what the back four is going to look like, or at least the two center backs.
Yeah,
Jose are going to look like.
Toby Alderweireld's been rumored to go to Man United as well. So if that happens, he'd be a pretty intriguing option there too. I think he would just slot right into that team.
Yeah, the flip side of this question though is I think Wilfred Zaha, where Zaha is to me at Crystal Palace a very desirable FPL option, but if he moves to Spurs or another top side like that, I feel like he's off the table for me.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it would depend on the club a little bit. It does seem like anywhere he goes, he wouldn't be playing through the middle, you know. So then
it wouldn't be the big man on campus anymore.
Yeah, and which I actually think could work out still. I think that would be fine. I think that he could have. I mean, the problem is he's not a great his shooting is just okay. You know, he's really, he's kind of an assist man in a lot of ways, you know, and so, like, he's, you know, he's kind of like, he can win you a penalty. Like, I mean, like fantasy assists, right? He's like, there's like different ways for him to get points for you. So that doesn't get hampered, I think, no matter what position he's playing in, but, it does seem like when he was playing as a forward, he was actually scoring a little bit more too. And
you know, that game Sabutio where you've got the, it's like a soccer board game or a football board game. Sorry, I slipped into Americanisms there. But you flick the little football players around the board. That to me is what Zaha is. He's a Sabutio player. you just use him as a way of moving the ball about the pitch. And then somebody will ultimately flick the ball, or at least Milivojevic will kick the penalty that Zaha wins.
He got another penalty yesterday. Palace have looked really good in the preseason. So having someone from that team in your squad, you've got two or three, right? Two defenders, maybe. Would you triple up on that Palace defense, Brandon?
I mean, would I, or how long will it take me to get there?
I'm trying to bring Ings in early so I can have quadruple Palace coverage. Just kidding.
Tompkins, it is crazy to double up on Palace defense. But, you know, Roy is a big traditionally organized manager. I mean, he's not as negative as Allardyce, but if you're looking at those traditional English managers. But I've just been dead set on Tompkins from the moment I did my first tinker, and maybe that's a problem. I do have to go and just scour the 4.5 defenders again to see if I'm missing out another obvious pick. But I do like Palace's opening fixtures and for them to get a fair number of clean sheets early on.
All right. Well, Brandon, our 5-minute review of our own teams is complete. Let's take a quick break and we will get back.
We'll reset the stop clock.
Reset the stopwatch. We'll get back and we're going to look at unanswered questions going into game week one.
Josh, a quick minute to talk about our wonderful sponsors. It's Starting 11. Josh, does FPL have you stressed out?
Yes.
Are you tired of planning for the long term? We're talking about bus teams. We're talking about going into a coma. We're planning for game week 8. Yeah.
I'm bone tired. Don't,
if you wish that you could have any player you want, regardless of the budget, and if you wish that you could also play fantasy for cash prizes, let us introduce you to Starting 11, where you can play cash games live in the UK, 33 of the U.S. states, including Washington, D.C., Canada, and Germany. The Starting 11 app is available for your iOS or Android phone, and it is daily fantasy, and you can play this game anytime there are at least two or more Premier League matches happening. You set up your squad for that day's fantasy. You have no budget constraints. You can have any player you want from those teams. Adjust your lineups right up to kickoff. So there is no deadline prior to the team sheets being announced. Your lineup is not going to get messed up because Mahrez didn't make the Starting 11. And while you're watching these games through Starting 11, you also get three live in-game substitutions, which makes you feel like the manager on the sidelines. You can affect how your fantasy team on Starting 11 is doing based on what you see on the pitch. So download the app, go to starting11.io. That's starting11.io. You've got links right there to download the app for your iOS or Android phone, or just search for the app in the iOS or Android app stores. Stay tuned. We've got a special bonus pod coming up in a few weeks with the co-founder of Starting 11, Thomas Braun. He's going to talk to us about what's going on at Starting 11 and all the great new things that are happening with them this and their second Premier League season of existing. Josh, we had a lot of fun using Starting 11 last season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I am particularly excited to play cash money games, Brandon. You know, when we go to the UK this fall, just as a reminder, we're going to UK in October. We should try to get some sort of Starting 11 meetup going where we're all playing together. I guess we're actually going to be at games, but we could play. You know, we can play on your phone, right?
Well, and that's the fun thing about Starting 11 because it's on your mobile device. You can play at the pub, you can play at the stadium, you can play at home with people around you, with strangers around the world. So a very cool setup there.
Yeah, and then the last thing I'll say is just that when you get sick of the fantasy app, which can be an extremely frustrating app, as we all know, Starting 11, these guys are experts at design, so it's just a very clean and easy experience. Exactly what you want and don't really have right now for a daily fantasy experience, so check it out.
All right, yeah, visit starting11.io for more information and download that app today.
Cool. Brandon. We're back. Part two of the podcast, unanswered questions going into game week one. We've got a lot of different questions here. We're going to try to do this lightning round style. So we're going to move through them as quickly as possible just so we can get to all of them. A couple of them we'll probably have to spend a little bit more time on. But then a couple we can answer in like three words, you know. So, so the first question comes from Thomas Owen. He says, who are the lowest priced players in each position who could start? And he mentions 4 million defenders as one example.
Yeah, I've got a list here that I'll just rattle through. Of course, we talked about Juan Bezikas at Crystal Palace at right back 4.0. The other right back at 4.0 that's getting a lot of attention is Peltier at Cardiff. He is flagged currently for a concussion, but he's been starting in the preseason, and Cardiff fans are pegging him for a start in game week one.
Yeah, I think Sutner on Brighton is another player who slightly riskier, definitely could end up as a bench player, but he has gotten some pretty serious minutes in the preseason. He's been really attacking as well. So just another possible option. I definitely fifth defender, possibly don't even bring him in at all, but just a player to keep an eye on.
Yeah, all the big midfielders here to talk about. It's Tom Carney, Helder Costa at Wolverhampton, coming off of a 5-goal season for Wolves last season. He's at 5.0. just like Carney, and three other 5.0 midfielders, Will Hughes at Watford, Kennedy, who permanently made his deal with Newcastle, and Ruben Neves at Wolverhampton, who's currently in your bus team, Josh. So all those guys look like the 5.0s of choice in the midfield.
We've barely talked about Newcastle in any of our previews because their opening fixtures are just awful. But come, you know, game week, was it like 8 or 9? They get a lot better which is how it works, Brandon. It doesn't stay bad forever. So, yeah, I think we'll talk more about them in upcoming pods. I can't recommend anybody in Newcastle right now, though.
Yeah, I'm sad that Jack Cork, who is my favorite 4.5 midfielder last season, has been bumped up to 5.0. Dale Stevens, I think.
Why did he get bumped? He scores like one goal a year. Just give him a 4.5.
Small guy scored ahead of a goal here in the preseason, Jack Cork. So that's your 5.0 right there. But and then you're looking at Morgan Schneiderlin.
It's a 4.5. Yeah, just a possibility. Stevens too is 4.5.
In the striker situation, Obubakar Kamara, not the easiest name to say, Fulham striker at 4.5. He's been on the outside of all of these preseason discussions of this guy's at 4.5. He gets a fair amount of playing time. Is he going to start? There's no way he's guaranteed to start Kamara for Fulham, but he's up to 10.9% ownership. I do think he'll see.
Is he that high already? He's up to 11% ownership. That's
yeah. Much higher I imagine it's a lot of people playing 4-4-2 lineups.
Sure.
At 4.5, it's sort of he could. I expect he'll be like a level of Huddersfield's Quaynor last season.
Right.
He will get the occasional start, but more likely come on as a sub. He'll get minutes. Will he produce anything for your team? Will you ever feel comfortable starting him? I doubt it. So I'm kind of saying stay away from Kamara.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, he is the 4.5 million player that you'd want, you know, if you needed to go that small. I mean, he started and scored yesterday. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, that is encouraging off of an assist from Mitro, I think. So, whole Mitro 6.5. That's a rough price, man.
He really is. I don't know why he's priced that high. It seems really high based on his
he's clearly a 6.0
championship
striker.
He should be a 6.0. That's exactly right. It's too high. That Joe guy says essentials in every position. I was thinking about this, Brandon. I'm not sure there is a single essential outside of Mo Salah.
Yeah, I do think that people will make the case for Sergio Aguero being essential, and I think that's in a pre-Harry Kane season right now.
Yeah,
where he is, I think it's going to get very. We're going to have to kill a lot of darlings once Harry Kane steps up and starts starting for Spurs.
If you had one or two Man City midfielders, I think, you know, let's say you're doubled up in Man City, you can only have one extra player. Doubled up in their defense, you can only have one extra attacker. I think having someone like, I don't know, Sané. I mean, if Sané really has a knock, then that changes things. But let's say he's fine. Sané or Mahrez, I think that might be. I definitely wouldn't call Aguero a lock. I could see a version of my game week one team that doesn't have Aguero. Maybe a little less likely now that he has scored that brace, but he's borderline lock, I'd say.
Yeah. I just want to take you through these Arsenal fixtures to open up the season. It's Man City and Chelsea to start, but then it's West Ham, Cardiff, Newcastle, Everton, Watford at home, Fulham, Leicester, Crystal Palace, until they get to Liverpool in game week 11. I feel like Arsenal defense is essential right now, despite that opening fixture to Man City. And I do wonder if there's just going to be a rush on Arsenal defenders once you hit game week 3.
It's possible. I'm waiting till game week 3. I think that'll just be one of my early transfers. I feel like things are still a little unsettled in that defense, and I'm not 100% sure I know who the starters are. Even someone like Nacho Monreal hasn't even – I think he's back with the squad now, but has he played a preseason match? Did he finally play yesterday? He hasn't been, with the team at all.
Yeah, right.
So it feels a little unsettled. I mean, I agree that Socrates is probably the safest player in that team, but yeah. I mean, ultimately, yeah, Man City and Chelsea, I just don't see clean sheets in those first two matches. So, I'm going to wait until game week 3.
All right. So I want to read this because this is one of the more beautiful questions we've ever heard, on this podcast. In verse from Chico Fernandez: to early wild card or not to early wild card? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler to risk blanks with uncertain pawns or to gas vice in the wind in favor of truer steeds, and by signing them have we consistent green arrows.
Beautiful. That's just Chico, right? That isn't a reference to anything. That is not a play on words.
Yeah. Chico, great FPL manager, also the greatest playwright in the history of the world. Well done there, Chico.
Chico Shakespeare.
if I get what Chico is going for here, it's what are our thoughts on wild card going into game week 1? How much are you thinking about World Cup players coming back in game weeks 3 and 4, yeah, and planning for that?
Say,
and
it's close to a dead certainty that I wild card early on. Part of the appeal of having Aguero is that Aguero moves to Kane reasonably easily. You don't have to free up that much money to do it. There's kind of famously, you don't want Kane in August. I mean, their fixtures, the thing about Kane is that, you know, they have two strong opening fixtures, and the fixtures actually get kind of bad after that. Kane is arguably fixture proof anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But let's say that Harry Kane doesn't join the team until game week 3, right? And if you're wild card and you feel like Kane is one of the main reasons you do it, right? So Kane is 12.5 million, second most expensive player after Salah. So probably not going to play in the Newcastle game, probably not going to play in the Fulham game either. So they play Man United, Watford, Liverpool and Brighton in the next 4 after that. And Man United's away, Watford's away, Liverpool matches at home, which actually I would love to have them for that game.
I think that's their first home game in their new stadium.
Yeah. So that could be, yeah. So I would probably like to have Harry Kane before game week 5. I feel like that's when I would want him in my squad.
Yeah. Maybe the new stadium, the World Cup and the new stadium, the weird lack of signings at Spurs. Not that this has been a problem for them the last couple of seasons, but I'm very wary of Spurs right now. And it's another reason that another feather in the Arsenal cap for me, and that this team has been really not impacted at all by the World Cup and players coming back, and they look like they'll be pretty settled for game week 1. So I guess that's why I'm trying to pin a lot of my hopes to them, and seeing if by doing that I can save my wild card for another few weeks.
Yeah. Part of it was I had that conversation with FPL Stag on the we did a Patreon exclusive pod maybe 2 weeks ago. Sorry for plugging Patreon so much, but it was a good interview. Worth going back and listening to, because we were just sort of talking in broad strokes about the early fixtures and players to watch. And he mentioned he read this interview. It was like an analysis of people who'd won the league the last few seasons. And one of the hallmarks of each of these league winning people is that they wildcarded very early in the season. Like the average wildcard was like game week 2 or 3. So super early in the season. And the idea was basically, if you didn't get on whoever the players you needed to have were early, you're dead. You know, like you have to just get on the bus with all the top players and get on them as soon as possible, because those price rises kick in and they're just, it's, the amount of rearranging you have to do to start bringing them in is so, you know, arduous. So that alone has got me thinking about an early wild card and this idea of maybe not playing wait and see. I mean, there's always some risk, you know. I mean, early wild card, it's, you know, you could be looking at, you know, the player that you think is going to be a consistent scorer all season just had two good matches, you know, or loses their place in the squad or whatever, you know, so yeah. Or gets injured for that matter. So, you know, there is some risk, but I'm planning an early wild card just because I think it's the best way to, you know, help my overall rank.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, don't get too focused on players coming back from World Cup. I'm trying to think of the players that will be missing in game week one. How big of a deal is it? You've got KDB, probably Lukaku, and Harry Kane. Those are the ones that stick out to me.
Raheem Sterling, yeah. You know, Eden Hazard, if he stays. All right. So next question comes from AM Saturday. He says, who would you gents say is a player who is not so popular among FPL managers, but is a must for game weeks 1 through 3?
Must is a tough one here.
Must is a tough one.
I think of Everton here because Everton's fixtures are so appealing to start, but Everton as a squad, they just had a miserable season last year and their preseason results have been pretty dire.
Spotty.
But yeah. Opening with Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, West Ham through the first 5 game weeks. I mean, like I said, with my bus team, I've got Keane in there. I drafted in Sigurdsson into my Patreon draft team. And I could be talked into a couple of other Everton players. I don't know. What do you think about them?
I don't know. I don't know what to think about them. And I have Richarlison right now. It seems like they don't quite know what the best version of their team is yet. And that's always a little scary because that could mean a lot of different starting 11s, you know? And sometimes that means that the player in your squad is out. You know, just as they start to tinker with things.
Well, yeah, a lot of different starting 11s also means a lack of chemistry and the
right. Well, I think that's, you know, that's part of why I have, you know, I mean, Josh King and Pascal Gross are in my team right now because, I mean, those guys to me are locks. They're going to play every match, and you know, I mean, Josh King to me is an essential. I there's certainly you know a lot of you do not need to have him in your team going to game week one, but. He has basically his first 10 fixtures. There's maybe one bad fixture in those 10. They play Cardiff, West Ham, and Everton in the first 3. Chelsea away in game week 4, which is the one tough fixture. And then game weeks 5 through 10, it's Leicester, Burnley, Palace, Watford, and Southampton. 3 out of 5 of those are at home. It's just a very good run. He's been great in preseason. He's only 6.5 million. I just really like the point production I think I'm going to get for that money. And if he's still on pens like he was the second half of last season, I just think he's very valuable. And, you know, the other player is Pascal Gross, I mentioned earlier, who I just he's going to be so involved in that team. You know, their fixtures aren't great. And that's the concern. You know, they play Man United and Liverpool in game weeks 2 and 3. Man United match is home. And Liverpool, you know, they're always a little bit of a risk for conceding goals. So, although I've been getting like hammered for that on Twitter, I still have this like antiquated idea. Liverpool is a team that has a dodgy defense. Maybe it's because they gave up like 75 goals in the Champions League or something. And it's like, it's affecting the way I think about their league form, but,
the stats are slightly skewed, right? Because Van Dijk came in late in the season and that's the turning point for that defense. And you look at the young backs they have in Alexander Arnold and Robertson, they are younger, and Robertson especially new to the system last season.
Yeah, but I mean, really I have Robertson in my team. Yeah, I have Robertson in my team, but I could see them conceding. You know, I could see Brighton scoring in that match. So so Gross is there for now. We'll see if he makes his way into game week one. But I do like the idea of having a player on a mid table or lower table, lower in the table squad who you just know is going to start and play big minutes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Lazarus asks, how many Greek internationals is enough? Will Socrates remedy Arsenal's garbage defense? Can we expect Mavropanos to be played out of position up front as a cheap alternative to Lacazette and Aubameyang? Triple captain Holobas in game week 1. Hashtag Hemlock. Hashtag Greek FPL. Hashtag is this a thing? Hashtag Holobas Twitter. Is there a whole like dark thing. Corner? There's you're, Holobas.
You are maybe the only one, Brandon, who's in FBL who isn't part of Holobas Twitter. We've been keeping you out of it for a while, man.
You know, my favorite first Greek player in the Premier League was Karagounis back when he played for Fulham. So I do have a soft spot to for Greeks in the league. But yeah, how many is enough? You can never have enough Greeks.
You can never have enough. All of them. That's even when you have all of them, it's not enough. All right. Gabriel Castellana says rotating goalkeeper versus premium goalkeeper. And if rotating goalkeeper, what's the best rotation? So I'm coming around to the premium goalkeeper thing last year. Or, I mean, based on how last year went, I was trying to rotate early in the season. Then I finally brought in David De Gea and it was like, oh, thank God. Like, I don't have to worry about this anymore. I just have like a goalkeeper who gets me clean sheets all the time. Mm-hmm. I want that again. I don't want to spend $6 million on De Gea, which seems a little too high, but, okay. So we think, you know, Ederson, De Gea, those, you know, we talked about them earlier. Let's say that you were going for goalkeeper rotation. Have you kicked around any goalkeeper rotation strategies? Oh, I guess anyone who, you know, anything that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, the guy that really sticks out to me is from promoted side Wolves, Rui Patricio, who's the Portuguese national team keeper coming into the side. And I think he does rotate pretty well. So Wolves, just generally speaking, this is not based in the world of spreadsheets and all that sort of thing. But they have generally kind fixtures in game weeks 1 and 2, 4 and 5. Yeah, that's right. Man City, the Wolves have in game week 3. So I would look at maybe a rotation with Patricia and Palace. So whereas Wolves have Man City in game week 3, Palace have Watford. The problem with Palace is we don't quite know exactly who's going to start there. Is it going to be the new guy, Guaita, or is it going to be Wayne Hennessy? And it looks like Hennessy is kind of edging it out in the preseason.
Right, for the time being at least, yeah.
Yeah, the rotation is just such a hard thing, and it is a crapshoot. But I do think that there are plenty of 4.5 GKs out there that are interesting to rotate with. If you build around Patricio, for me, I think that's the way to go.
You know, a lot of people have Fabianski. I think let's see where his ownership is at right now. I think it's pretty high. Fabianski is at 22% ownership, which is pretty high for a 4.5 million keeper. To me, I just don't know that I trust that defense enough. I know that they have Issa Diop, who everyone's really excited about. He's probably going to be a stabilizing force in that defense, but it still feels a little risky to me I don't know. I mean, people just love Fabianski. I think I'm still surprised by how old he is. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago on a podcast, but he's like only like a year younger than Peter Cech. He looks young though. Like Fabianski looks like he's about 26 years old, even though he's been around forever.
Great skincare regimen.
So I'm not as into Fabianski as some people are. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not as in on West Ham outside of Arnautovic as some people are for that matter.
Okay, so you're in on Bournemouth in terms of attack with Josh King. We talk quite a bit about how Bournemouth's defense is garbage. Begovic is getting into a lot of preseason tinkers, and that's another one that maybe you could look to rotate with another 4.5. But there,
I feel like in that case, I would just bring in Matt Ryan. In that case, I mean, even go with for some save of the bad points. Fixtures, yeah, go for save points. I mean, he's really solid keeper, 4.5 million. They actually have, if you can get past Man United and Liverpool, their fixtures are actually pretty decent. Fulham, Southampton, I guess they do play. It's a mixed bag. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, Brandon. It's a mixed bag with Brighton. But yeah, you can see a lot. I mean, they have a home match, or they play an away match at Man City. I mean, he could end up with, you know, 3 or 4 points in that match just on saves alone. So so I feel like that's obviously if you bring in Matt Ryan, you're not gonna do him as a set and forget keeper anyway. So you know, you could rotate Ryan with Ryan and Ben Foster and Watford rotate reasonably well. So that's a possibility too.
Yeah. I have played premium goalkeeper for like the last 3 seasons. David De Gea has been my man for a while. The problem here now is he's priced as an absolute premium at 6.0, but I can just tell you the feeling you have going into each weekend, knowing you have a goalkeeper of substance on a team that is that has a chance of getting a clean sheet. It's a far better feeling than the crapshoot of rotation.
Still worried about Mourinho, like, just playing like 4 18-year-olds in defense, just as like a protest against.
I'm totally fine staying away from Manchester United. But the point of not feeling bad about spending a little extra money on a GK, it's not sexy, but it is quite a relief.
All right, Ian, FPL Strategic has a math problem for us, Brandon. He says you have 17 million to spend on a defender, midfield, or in forward. Who do you get?
All right, so if you spend 13 million on Mo Salah, you've got 4 million left, yeah, 2 million each.
So yeah, so Salah and a 2 million forward and a 2 million defender. That seems right.
It's a great question, Ian, but I have no way of answering this question. We'll take it offline and we'll take a look at your team and give you a real response.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've already talked a little bit about kind of the lower cost players that we're interested in. You just need to see a full team to really know. I think that you talked earlier. I just one name that came to mind immediately was Bobby Reed, who is in your current squad right now. I feel very bullish on Bobby Reed for some reason. He's had a pretty good preseason. I'm a sucker for short guys. I love rooting for people who are as short as I am. Not that I'm even that short, Brent. I mean, I'm like 5'8", but
you're freakishly short. Let's be clear. Freakishly
short. So I'm a big fan of, Shaqiri. I'm going Ellen and the short guys this year, Brandon.
Okay. All right. Mike Mulcahy asks, should I keep talking myself out of Lacazette? We touched upon this a little bit earlier. It's kind of the hokey cokey between Aubameyang and Lacazette. The question is he guaranteed? He will get starts in the first 5 weeks. I think that's no question. But is he a lock in that lineup?
Too early to tell. So let's hope that something comes out that confirms that he's a lock. Lacazette injury or something, or not Lacazette. If something happened to Mkhitaryan, we haven't talked about Mkhitaryan at all. He's still a tempting option.
I know. It's 7 million. I think I said in one of our way earlier preseason pods, he was the first one into my team. I just assumed that. How could you leave a guy like Mickey out of that lineup? He was so great when he came to Arsenal, but it's looking really shaky for him. Let me pose this hypothetical to you. Say, assume that Lacazette and Aubameyang start together. What does the share of goals look like there? Aubameyang is likely on pens and not Lacazette. So there is a big upside for Alba there, but I could see them easily going 50-50 on goals from open play.
Yeah, it's the kind of style that Emery plays. You know, it's a front three and they're kind of interchangeable. So, you know, right now you possibly have four players for three slots, depending on where Ozil plays. I mean, from what I've read, it sounds like Ozil can either play centrally, or if Ozil and Ramsey are on the pitch at the same time, then you probably have to play Ozil as one of the people in that front three.
Play him a little bit out to the right.
Yeah, which might knock Lacazette out of the starting spot, or Mkhitaryan comes off the bench. But there is probably something to be said for having Lacazette as a backup option. You know, if you need a goal, I don't know if he wants to be in that role, but it does kind of make sense. I don't know that Lacazette will stand for it, you know, as a long term backup. But so I don't know. It feels tricky. I mean, Aubameyang, it's the guaranteed aspect of it that is making us want to spend that extra 1.5 million. But I'm tempted by Lacazette too.
All right, let's keep this question of Aubameyang going. FPL Chancer asks template question, but it's still dividing people: Alba or Aguero, or Alba and Aguero. And do we need a plan for getting Harry Kane in once that time comes? So I think we both, with our bus teams, are saying it's Alba and Aguero at this point.
Yeah, I think it's Alba and Aguero for now. Kind of hoping I can downgrade Alba to Lacazette, but we'll see. We'll see what comes out this week. The Harry Kane thing, I think we already talked about. I think, at some point I do plan to have Harry Kane in my squad. I'm certainly not looking at him until game week 4.
Don't even worry about it, I guess, at this point. I think that a guy at 12.5, the only way we're really getting him in is triggering a wild card. So this is we cross that bridge when we get to it. Don't worry about it right now.
Yeah. Fluke says, is it worth ditching my 3-4-3 formation and placing a striker with Kamara? Surely a starting 4.5 million striker is too good to turn down. You know, it's amazing how often we get a question that has the word surely in it. and how often I disagree with the person when they use the word Shirley. It is tempting, but you know, Brandon, being much more of a Fulham expert than I am, doesn't see Kamara as a starting 4.5. Nope. You see him as a rotational striker, right?
Totally. Yes. Yeah. And more likely a bench, coming off of the bench striker around the 70th, 75 minute, if they need a little more attacking power. So you're taking your life into your own hands, putting Kamara in that squad.
Yeah. I mean, and it could be that it is worth it for the way for your team. I don't have his team in front of me right now, but I mean, it could be that, you know, that extra money that you could put into your defense and your midfield would make for a stronger team. You know, and then he's just kind of like, you treat him like a, you know, like a, you know, fifth midfielder or something, you know, where it's just he's there if you need him. Maybe you only get one point.
You're basically committing, I think, to playing a 4-4-2, which is completely legitimate.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a 3-5-2. Same difference in this example. And that's fine. The only problem is if you gamble on starting Kamara before the game week deadline hits and he comes in for a blank in the 85th minute, then you're not going to be very happy.
It's amazing how many viable formations there are this year. I mean, there are just so many good players right now. I can't remember ever feeling like I had a larger pool of players to pick from. You know, it's...
Oh, yeah. The earlier question of who's the most unpopular FPL player, that's a must have. Like, it seems right now that all of the players are popular. We want them all.
Exactly. I mean, I could see a five at the back formation that would be very successful. I could see a 4-4-2 or, like you said, a 3-5-2, all of which make sense, too. And so I don't really want to strongly advocate for one particular formation because, you know, there's a lot of guesswork early on in the season. I mean, OK, actually, let's go right into the next question, because I think that's it leads right into it, which is from Sadat Machia. Says, is Alexis Sanchez the best punt? He says, you can downgrade him to a Sané Eriksen or swap him straight out for someone like KDB or Hazard when they get back.
Yeah, so I love this.
Interesting,
I
think, way to think about it.
For sure. For sure. It's kind of a placeholder, but it's all upside while you're waiting to switch him to somebody else. And I think if we weren't both committed to the Alba plus Aguero front line, then Alexis Sanchez becomes a very viable midfield option. But I do not have the money for him. I haven't figured out how to make that work.
I mean, you know, I guess, okay, so let's say I dropped Aubameyang. Okay, what's a better combination? Pascal Gross and Aubameyang, or Marko Arnautovic and Alexis Sanchez? That was not like a clear cut answer, right?
No.
I mean, not in the first 2 weeks anyway. Maybe over 8 weeks, given Arsenal's fixtures, Alba comes out a little ahead, but it is definitely not easy to decide.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many warning signs with Manchester United right now. They've looked kind of strange in preseason, and of course Jose is slowly or quickly losing his mind.
So, and I wish he was, I know, I wish that he would pull himself together a little bit. I actually like Mourinho, and it's getting very hard to like him. I feel like a lot of what he does is an act, but it's so tiring the way he's so negative. It's like hanging out with a friend who just is never positive. And after a while, it does start to like grind you down a little bit.
So Alexis Sanchez looked out of sorts when he came to Manchester United last season, and that was even when Lukaku and Pogba and the rest were playing. It's very likely that Sanchez is going to be kind of on his own up front for United. Does that make him more appealing, or is it even going to be a worse case for Sanchez at United, a team where he doesn't feel at home and it's just not working for him?
Yeah, the problem is when Lukaku comes back. So, I mean, you know, I read their I mentioned these guys a lot on Twitter, but I've really been enjoying the Stats Bombs articles this year. And, you know, part of the issue that they had last season when they brought in Alexis was, you know, basically all of the midfielders wanted to play like forwards, or all the people who are like supposed to be kind of in people who are supposed to be helping to sort of channel the ball through Lukaku were trying to be forwards on their own, right? So Rashford and Martial in particular. So
who could forget the Matic bicycle kick?
Right.
What a wonderful attacking player.
As a result, someone needed to link up with the defense and the central defenders. And so that became Alexis Sanchez. And so he basically sacrificed his scoring in order to be like a link up player and really hurt him from a fantasy perspective. So even if, you know, if he starts the season, I mean, God, I mean, having Alexis in game week one at home to Leicester on Friday night, that would be amazing. I would love that. It would make Friday. So like if he scored, oh, it'd be so glorious. But, you know, my concern is game week three or thereabouts, you know, and when he suddenly drops back. And so then what am I doing? I guess I'm dropping him for someone like Rose, and then I'm moving that money into Harry Kane. It's just like it feels very complicated to me. And I feel like a lot of things go wrong. And suddenly I'm stuck with Alexis as a 10.5 million player who isn't really scoring or assisting because he's got to get the ball to these other guys, you know? So it could be, you know, if Marshall leaves, it might free up some more space for Alexis.
All right. We have a few more questions to go before we get to the game week one preview proper. And the next question comes from FPL Derp Derp. I think I got that right. Derp to derp. Yep. Okay. Is triple Liverpool the way to go? And is Naby Keita an option at 7.5? So Salah is a must. We're both invested in the Liverpool defense. Do you have space in your squad for a third Liverpool player?
There's like 10 players who I'd want more than Naby. I actually like Naby Keita, and I'm sure that there's a lot of Liverpool fans who are bringing him in. But I mean, you know, Jota, Richarlison, Gross, a lot of these players seem like better options to me than Naby Keita.
Yeah, just look at the it's basically a heat map question. And I think all those players you mentioned, Josh, and many others, that, I mean, even going as low as Tom Carney, are going to be farther up the pitch than Keita.
Yeah, I mean, a team is attacking in Liverpool. There are going to be points everywhere. But I think he is an option, but I think there are better options.
All right, Nav, and a special shout out to Nav, who we met him at Jimmy's Corner in Midtown in Manhattan the other day, who he graciously made time during his vacation to meet up with us. So, hey there, Nav. He asked, do you think World Cup stars will drop in price as lots of casuals sell them after game week one? If so, who becomes appealing? So Nav's talking about all those people who love KDB. They thought he was sensational for Belgium. Go to the transfer list on the FPL site. KDB's way up there in the midfielders. Let's bring him in. And then they all immediately sell him when they see he doesn't stay.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Trippier, Harry Maguire. I'm just looking at the most owned players in the league right now. I mean, Trippier and Harry Maguire both might not start game week one, right? Yeah. You know, you've got, Kevin De Bruyne probably won't start in game week. Almost certainly won't start in game week one. May make the bench in game week two. N'Golo Kante, who's the fourth most known midfielder somehow, is almost certainly not going to start game week one. Roberto Firmino, the most owned forward, and Harry Kane, the second most known forward, those players are not going to be starting game week one. So, maybe Firmino starts. I kind of doubt it, though. You can throw this back on my face if he does start game week one.
Oh, and I intend to, Jeff.
I mean, you know, yeah, these players could. I mean, you know, Roberto Firmino at 9.2 million. I mean, that's, you'd have to rearrange your team to bring him in, right? It'd be such great, amazing value at 9.2. I mean, even at 9.5, he's pretty good value. It's the starting risk that's throwing me off a little bit.
I think it's all upside for us. I mean, if you're listening to Always Cheating, you're doing your research as an FPL manager, you're well more prepared than these casuals. It's all upside. If these players lose value, then you can bring them in at a cheaper price. So long as you're prepared, you have it. Just follow what the predicted team sheets will be. Of course, some of those predicted team sheets will ultimately be wrong for game week one. But do your best to figure that out, and then we can jump on these players when they hopefully do drop in price.
Yeah, exactly. It's a situational thing. I mean, actually, you know, it's interesting because just going back to that Sanchez thing, I mean, yeah, you know, if KDB drops down, like, let's say I have Sanchez for 2 weeks, and then KDB drops down to, like, 9.8 million, you know, then suddenly I can save 0.7 million, to bring KDB, and then I've got that 0.7 million that I can invest somewhere else, so. Mm-hmm. God, it sounds like I'm talking myself into Sanchez, isn't it? I'm sort of turning my head a little bit, Brandon.
It's amazing to listen to, Josh. The metamorphosis of Josh.
All right, a couple more questions. Red Dagger says, are you worried about how unsettled Man United's defense looks?
One word, yes.
Yeah, me too. One word, yes. Sparty says, what routes are you taking into the city midfield for the start of the season, if at all, and why?
I mean, Sané is the one to me that is most appealing, despite him coming off early in the Community Shield with a knock. He had a couple of poor touches in that match against Chelsea.
Yeah, just scored in the first half.
Yeah, but he still would be the one that I favor. And I think ultimately we've both decided to go without because as we saw last season, the points are going to get spread around. Aguero being Aguero, that's the place I want to start, and I frankly can't afford anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I think Aguero, talked about him earlier, he's close to a lock in my team as well. And I think, I just don't – the KDB is the player I really want in that midfield. And I think I'm just going to wait and bring him in.
Are you ready to talk somebody out of Riyad Mahrez? I think that's really the subliminal question here.
Well, like, let's wait till he does anything for Man City. Like, yeah. Let's wait till he has a goal or an assist, you know? Like, he hasn't – I mean, the preseason, like, he's like the – I know he looks good, and he's been trying really hard, and, you know, he's been, you know, agitating to play at Man City for 2 years or whatever. But, like, it just – like, let's wait until he actually does something impressive before we – you know, I'll start to spend $9 million on him in our squad. I mean, Man City have great fixtures. So, I mean, tripling up a Man City in any different combination is probably going to work out for you. That could include one of their midfielders, but I don't love any of them right now. Maybe Sané, I mean, if he's healthy, because there are just times when that guy just bursts by everybody and, you know, he gets some easy goals. So I don't know. I think maybe Sané, he'd be the player I'd want if I had anybody.
Yeah, our Rick Cito has a team value question here for us. What is the most that one should leave in the bank at the start of the season, given that we should leave more than in seasons past due to the World Cup? So we talked a bit about how the World Cup is going to impact the first month of the season, but are you planning on leaving any money in the bank heading into game week?
No, I'm just planning the wild card early. That's how I'm going to handle it.
Yeah, I have 0.5 in the bank right now, and that's basically because I'm still tinkering. But yeah, I suspect at the end of the day, I'm going to be at a zero balance for game week one.
It feels very likely that I'm going to end up moving a couple things around after the transfer window closes too, you know, on Thursday night. Although, God, it's a short window. I mean, it's less than 24 hours. So, get that bus team set. Final question. Tom Campbell says, I brought Eriksen into my squad today. How are you guys feeling about him and the Spurs team as a collective for the first three game weeks?
Let's look at the fixtures for Spurs. It's away to Newcastle, then Fulham, which they'll play at Wembley, I believe. And then they're away at Old Trafford.
Two good fixtures.
Yeah, two good fixtures. Newcastle are in complete disarray, but I don't know. I did watch the game that Spurs played against Roma, and they completely annihilated them in the first half, scoring four goals. And Lucas Moura was the star of the show there. And I have guaranteed, if you remember, Josh, that Llorente will score in game week one.
That's right, you have. I kicked around the idea of Lucas as a 7 million option. I mean, I could just do Lucas instead of Pascal Gross. That would make sense. I don't know. I mean, Eriksen, I guess, is the contender there at 9.5 million. It's a very reasonable price for him. I guess I would rather have him when Kane was in the squad as well, you know, so that he could assist Kane.
Yep. I agree. I think the attack is, while they have some really quality attacking players, it's not quite settled after the summer and the preseason. And Eriksen is at his best when he's surrounded by all his old friends.
It's kind of hard to see
Dele Alli and Harry Kane.
Them losing 4-1 yesterday did throw me off. I know it was not like their strongest possible squad, but losing 4-1, not awesome.
Eriksen is that player where, Tom, you just bring him in. If you commit to bringing him in, you're going to have him all season.
Right,
of course,
exactly.
He will surely finish in the top five. You have to just be prepared for some hiccups earlier in the season.
Yeah.
So I don't hate the pick, but I think it's going to be bumpy to start the season.
I hate the person making the pick, though, Brent. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, come at us, Tom.
I hate Tom Campbell. That's right.
What a great time to take a break after throwing some real shade there, Tom.
Just
let's take a quick
kidding, of course. All right, yeah, let's take a quick break, and then we'll look at game week one.
Josh, we've got the game week one fixtures here in front of us. Starting off with a Friday night kickoff, it's Manchester United hosting Leicester City. This sounds like a drab 2-1 victory for United.
Yeah, probably without Vardy. I guess I feel that way. I mean, the Nacho man has been on an absolute goal scoring frenzy.
En fuego.
Yeah, totally in fire. We should have talked about him earlier, actually. I mean, what is his price? Is he 6.5? He is 6 million. Brandon, you could just upgrade Bobby Reed to Iheanacho right now. Iheanacho. I have a hard time saying his name. I've heard him say a lot of names.
It's not one. It's not a name built for Americans. It's a wonderful
Not my bad palate, anyway.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, it is still a season opener at. I mean, Leicester had the season opener last season against Arsenal, and Craig Shakespeare managed to completely blow his tactics in the last 10 minutes of the game. I think where they were up leading after a couple of goals from Vardy.
God, can't you just see him scoring in this first game? And then they have Wolves and Southampton in their next two. And he's just like, he like goes up like 0.4 in price, you know, within 2 weeks.
Iheanacho?
Yeah. I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah. Stop talking. You're just going to get the wheels turning. He's yet to really do it in a regular season situation for Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all right. This
game is just scary FPL wise for me.
It's a little scary. It gives me a little. I don't know that I see a clean sheet for Man United here. I really don't know what to expect of this game. I agree. I do see Alexis Sanchez scoring, to be totally honest. Mm-hmm. I really like him as the kind of premier non Salah captain option. Maybe up there with Sergio Aguero, even away to Arsenal. So we'll see about Man United Leicester. Then we've got. What, six fixtures on Saturday? It's a full slate, Brandon. We've got Newcastle, Spurs. Then the 10 o'clock. It's like a bunch of kind of mediocre games, to be totally honest. Yeah. Bournemouth, Cardiff, Fulham, Palace, Huddersfield, Chelsea, and Watford, Brighton. That is just a strange mix of Saturday fixtures.
Watford, Brighton basically says it all, doesn't it? It's like you're watching the Olympics or something like that. That's how emotionally invested I'll be in that match. Newcastle Spurs, despite what we said earlier about Newcastle, it'll be kind of an interesting one to watch. Yedlin will have a point to prove against his old team.
For sure.
You know he'll score. They always score against their old teams, Josh. Okay, Bournemouth. So you're basically banking on Josh King coming away with at least a goal against Cardiff.
If he doesn't get a double hat trick, six goals, I'm going to be devastated.
Fulham Palace, London Derby. I do fear for Fulham in this match. I think they've made a lot of great signings over the summer. Alfie Mawson shoring up that central defense. But Palace, they'll be ready. They're a tough team.
I want these Fulham matches to actually start so you can stop being so negative about them and start actually rooting for them.
It's true. Yeah, it's the ultimate fan pessimism, right? Like, if you say it's going to be bad, then you won't truly be disappointed.
Yeah, it usually goes the other way, actually. It's usually fan optimism. Huddersfield, Chelsea, I honestly would not be surprised if Huddersfield won that match. You know, it's, I mean, maybe it's a 1-1, maybe it's a 1-0 Chelsea win. I don't know. I don't feel like Chelsea's just going to roll in that match though.
Sarri cut an interesting figure on the sidelines at the Charity Shield. He was wearing that like oversized short sleeve Henley. He looked like a grandpa that had been tasked with babysitting the grandkids for the weekend.
Yeah.
He was like, well, this is a lot of work. It's bloody hot outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can see that look carrying through to this Huddersfield match.
Watford Brighton. Let's just skip that one. Wolves Everton is the final match on Saturday.
Really interesting match here.
Really interesting match. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I see a Wolves win here. I'm really interested to see how this Wolves team fits together.
Yeah. Yes. Basically just becoming a strictly Portuguese side.
Yeah. It's very unusual.
I do wonder if they're just going too far in one direction for it to really work for them. And Everton,
that direction being west of Spain.
yeah, exactly. Everton at least have some sort of Premier League pedigree with their players. It's really not worked the last year.
Yeah, yeah.
They did. I mean, maybe I'm talking out of my backside saying this, but I give Everton a pretty good chance of winning this match.
I honestly feel like this is a very hard one to predict. Not that anyone cares what our predictions are anyway, but I see goals in this game. I see goals on both sides. Really interested in how, it's weird because the wingback formation, which was so in vogue just like two seasons ago, like now it's starting to, it's kind of going away. It was only in vogue for like a season and a half, you know? And But Wolves play that formation, and so I'm really curious to see. You know, Matt Doherty in particular, I've got in my squad right now, is, you know, I think he had 4 goals and 5 assists last season. So
do you think he'll play him against in this game week one?
No, I don't think I'll play him in this match. You know, I do think Everton will score, but he might be first on my bench. So yeah, maybe like I see
those points will look so awesome on your bench. You're going to love it when he's got like a 12 pointer. On yeah.
2-1 Wolves would be like my, if gun to my head, my prediction.
All right. Sunday, it's the big one. Liverpool, West Ham, probably the number one captaincy fixture with Mo Salah. West Ham bought well in the attack. They brought in Diop in defense and Fabianski. Does it give you any great faith that Liverpool aren't still going to score 4 or 5 goals against them?
Yeah. What is the minimum number of goals that you think Liverpool score in this match? Minimum number.
Two is the minimum.
I think three is the minimum. I cannot see them scoring less than three.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think I have a certain level of optimism for West Ham. It's giving them a certain amount of credit, and it's giving Pellegrini a certain amount of credit. But yeah, this is just a tough one for the new project to start off with.
Yeah.
Away at Anfield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, let's give them, it's just a tough start for them in general. I mean, we may not really know how good this West Ham team is until game week 20 or something like that. Seems like a long time away. Maybe like game week 15.
As soon as the dust settles from the festive fixtures, then we'll finally have it nailed.
Right. Yeah, we'll know when everybody else knows. Southampton, Burnley. After that, there's still a chance of a Southampton defender crawling his way into my team.
Don't do it. Southampton are complete rubbish.
Yeah, I was really into Chris Wood, but now that he's got this injury, I'm not feeling that as much. I do like Chris Wood a lot as an option long term. Now I'm just a little concerned he's not going to actually start this first week.
Hey, Sam Vokes is still kicking around 5.5 at Burnley. True. Get on the Vokes wagon.
Yeah, and they have another two-legged Europa League qualifier to come too, which is insane. Like, it's the hoops they've got to jump through just to play in the Europa League is insane.
Just to blow up their season.
Yeah. And then the final match is Arsenal Man City. There it is.
Yeah. I feel like this, for me, I have to look beyond this match because I'm obviously very thrilled by Manchester City assets. And as I've said throughout this pod, I'm really interested in Arsenal.
So you could have six players in this game.
I mean, I could have a lot of players canceling themselves out. I am planning to, right now on my bus team, Socrates is first on the bench, so I am scared enough of what City will do attacking wise, but that's one that a transfer that I want to have I want to have ready for game week 2 and 3, and I don't want to have to make it going into game week 2.
That makes sense. Socrates. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Brandon. Well, I am really excited. I'm glad that it's finally here. We'll be really active on social media all this week. You know, if anything crazy breaks on Thursday, maybe we'll do like an emergency podcast or something like that. But I think this is our preview, and then we'll be back on after this podcast, we'll be back on a normal rotation every Sunday night, maybe every Monday night if there's a big Monday fixture. I'm just so excited for the season to start, man. I kind of wish there wasn't a Friday game because I love the anticipation of the opening night of the season. You know, Friday night, you're still tinkering.
Yeah, me too.
But in some ways, it's like it just like forces you just to be done. You know, I'm actually taking Friday off because I'm, you know, as an American, I would actually miss this match. And so I'm just taking it as a day just so I can watch this game.
Yeah, I've got a half day at work too, so I'll be out of the office ready for the 3 p.m. kickoff here on the East Coast.
Because we got to go Black Horse, right? Do it the old way.
The old way, always cheating headquarters, the Black Horse Pub.
All right. So thanks for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast and get access to special leagues and t-shirts and buttons and private head-to-head leagues and all kinds of other stuff, and our Slack channel where we have rate by team threads and great preseason thread, captain threads, things like that. Then go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can also find links to it on social media, on our website, lots of other places too. I want to thank all of the producers of the podcast, Brandon. That's Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Laney Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan. Rafi Khan? Maybe it's Rafi. We should ask him about that.
Hit us up, Rafi.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Martin Savage and Rick Brailsford. Thank you to all of you.
Don't forget to subscribe to Always Cheating on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And if you'd be so kind, it costs you nothing and it helps us a great deal. Just give us a 5-star review or write a quick something on iTunes or wherever it is that you pick the show up. Give us a follow on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Send us an email with your lengthy, robust missives, HailCheaters@gmail.com. All this information is available at your fingertips at alwayscheating.com. And yeah, one more plug for the Super League. Don't forget to join our free big mini league, the Always Cheating Super League. All the links are here in the show notes and, yeah, and all those places we just mentioned.
And let's give a t-shirt to the winner of Super League, Brandon. How does that sound?
Oh, cool. One more print job for the production team.
That's right. You win the Super League, you're getting a t-shirt.
Awesome. Yeah, a t-shirt design to follow. So it's going to be awesome, though.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, good luck, everybody. I can't wait to talk about actual results the next time that we pod. Really excited about the season to start. It feels like I love that there's not a template, Brandon. I think you'd agree with me on that. There's really
I totally do. As we mentioned, there's just so many exciting players out there, old and new to the league, and it's shaping up to be a pretty epic season. I hope I'm not disappointed.
I mean, you and I are going to end up having like virtual this. The problem is on this podcast, you and I spend the entire podcast trying to convince each other of these players. And so there is like a, we end up having like the same team virtually, but it feels like in general, every team I've seen, it's all over the place, all kinds of different formations. It's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Yeah. Good luck to everyone this season. I hope it's a good one. And thanks for hanging with us here at Always Cheating.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
Poku forever.
Hail and Bakani.
Right.